Job chapter number 1, verse number 1. It says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, and 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she-asses, and a very great household. So that this man was the greatest of all men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of the feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned, and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down it, in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth? A perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. We'll stop there for sake of reading. So tonight I want to preach on the example of Job. And I want to look at these first 2 chapters in the book of Job and kind of do a little bit of a deep dive into what we can find here in these first 2 chapters and how we can take from his life and apply it to ours. Here in verse number 1 says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. So the first thing I see about Job and the example he sets is his devoutness. Job was described here as the perfect man. He's described as the upright man. So I looked up the definition of that word upright and found that it has 2 different meanings. The second definition was honesty and integrity. So we can see that Job was living an honest life. He got what he got because he was living right. He was living for God without hidden or open sin. His life reflected God. We can take that and him being our example. We need to have, just like him, that honest life. That's first definition, though, that I saw. I had to look into it because it said erect, perpendicular. So I had to get a little more knowledge on what that was saying, but perpendicular is when 2 straight lines meet in a 90-degree angle. So basically, with that word erect, meaning up, it's saying at one point you're going like this, and there's a change in your life, and you start going like this. So with erect, meaning up, that means an upright man is someone who is on one course but had a change of direction that is taking him straight and up. So now, in verse number 1, it says, he is one that feared God. What does it mean to fear God? Psalms chapter number 33, verse number 1, says, "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp, sing unto him with the psaltery, and an instrument of 10 strings, sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He guttereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast." So right here in Psalms chapter 33, verses 8 and 9, we can see that the fear of the Lord is not being afraid of God. We're not to be scared of God. And it seems like a lot of people in this world seem to believe that our God is an angry God who just wants to bring wrath upon us. And if you're afraid of God, then that gives you a clue that you don't know God. But having a fear of God is simply being humbled and in awe of his majesty, his mightiness, his love, and his grace for us. It is a state of humble submission where we recognize the greatness of God. Back in Job chapter 1, verse number 1, it says, "And one that feared God," and it says, "and eschewed evil." So that word eschew means to deliberately abstain from. So Job, he stayed away from sin. He wanted no part of it. He kept himself out of it. We need to have the desire to stay away from sin. Why do we want to be part of sin? God saved us from it, yet we like to go back to it. We should be like Job and make the choice to keep ourselves from it, no matter what we have to give up. Remember, giving up is growing closer to Christ. The Savior of this world who has bought you, who loves you, and supplies for you, why would you not want to be as close as you possibly can to the man who has done all that and continues to do all that for you? Here in verse number 2 it says, "And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. And in verse 3, "His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east." That's a lot of animals. That's a lot of livestock to take care of. But we can see right here that God blessed Job to the point where he was considered the greatest man of the east. Getting close to God and being in his will and living a submitted life is what gave him what he had. Now as we read down, starting now in verse number 6, we're going to see verse number 4, we're going to see the determination of Job. Verse number 4, it says, "And his sons went and feasted in their houses, everyone his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so when the days of their feasting was gone about that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually." So we see right here that Job was concerned for his family. He's concerned for his sons and for his daughters. He's a father who was determined to get his children to God. He woke up every morning. The first thing he did was offer a burnt offering in their name. It's not something on his mind every now and again. His children were not mentioned to God occasionally. Job had a burden for his family. As we see here, Job did not just do this once. The verse says that he did it continually. I don't see that he took a day off. I don't see where he decided that he could stop. I don't see where he felt like he had prayed enough. He just did it continually. No matter how tired he was each morning, no matter the lack of results, no matter his condition, he did it continually. God may not answer your prayers right away, but we have to stay faithful. We got to stay active, and we got to stay determined. This has been on my mind a lot just from what we heard Brother Rackley preach that Tuesday night of the revival. He was preaching on how we should be aggressive. No more passive wants. If you can't get your child or your friend or your family member, whoever it is, can't get them to God, get God to them. Stop being so passive and having the mentality that it's just going to happen when it happens. God may use you to make that time, and if we just keep letting opportunities slip by, their blood could be on your hands. God saved us with a purpose to bear the gospel, so don't be so passive with God's word. We have to give it. We don't have much time on this earth, and we mostly waste what time we do have away with things of this world. But we should start having more care for loved ones to give them the gospel. Bring them to God, pray them out of hell, give them God's word repeatedly, and stop worrying about offending somebody. If they're offended, then that's their sin pushing against God's word. Stop caring about their feelings and start caring about their soul's destination. Now we get into verse number 6, and we're going to see through verses 6 through 19, and we're going to see the decimation of Job. Verse number 6 says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land." So right here, Satan, and I love this part of Scripture because we can see that God has control of Satan. Satan's just, as we can see right here, he's just a person. We can see him talking to God, and you can see that he's not just an evil influence, but he's actually a fallen angel. He's conversing with God, so we're seeing his intellect, and we're seeing that he's antagonistic, so we see that he has emotions. And we also see that he's, in verse number 11, it says, "But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, he will curse thee to thy face." So he has his own motives. He has his own will. But as we see right here, he's limited by the sovereignty of our God. Job right here, he is being blessed by the Lord, and Satan can't touch him. And I love reading through this part right here because it really puts in perspective that God has control of everything, and he has control of Satan, and what temptations you go through is because God's allowing you to go through that, and God's allowing you to go through that trial. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." So Christ, our God, puts limitations on Satan, and he knows what we can take, and he's not going to put on us more than we can take. And then verse number 12, it says, and here's where we see the decimation start to happen. It says, and the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's houses. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I am only escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. I began thinking this morning as Titus was preaching, he was talking about how in just one moment we could receive a phone call and our whole world collapse. Right here, Job, in just a moment, he has his whole entire world is just shattered. Every blessing that God has given him seemingly is just gone. The only thing he's left with is a few servants, his wife, and his house. It's the only thing we find that he's left with. Everything else is burned up and died, and God's taken it away. So we see right here the decimation that Job's been put in this trial. And what I want to see right here is how he responds to the trial. And the next thing I see is the declaration of Job. Verse number 20, it says, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, naked come out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. So all those blessings, all Job had worked so hard for, his children, his livelihood, it's all gone. Job experiences a loss greater than probably any of us will ever face. Most people at this point would just throw in the towel. You feel defeated by what you just endured. The loss is greater than what you feel like you could have bear. And as we just talked about, that it can't be greater than what he can bear because the Lord's put those limitations. But maybe at this point you're starting to question life itself. You're starting to question what the point in going on is. Everything's been taken away from you. What's the point in going on at this point? And like many, you start to question God. A famous saying is, why do bad things happen to good people? I find that that's a hard question to answer, but I always tell people that God has a reason for it. These things might be to teach you a lesson. It may be so you can pass on a lesson. God is testing you, or as we see here, he may be allowing the devil to test you. The test will always be to see if you go close to him or if you're going to refute him. Job right here is the example of how we should be when we go through a trial. His immediate reaction right here. It says that Job arose and rent his mantle, shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. So when God is testing you, your immediate reaction should be right here, not to sulk, not to cry, woe is me. It shouldn't be to cry against God and blame the Lord for letting this happen to you. But as Job gets up, you see, it says he rent his mantle and he shaved his head. So he took his time to grieve at this loss. But then he immediately goes to God in submission and he worships him. The Lord gave and the Lord taketh away. The Lord gave and he hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He recognizes God's blessings upon his life. Though he just lost those blessings that he was given, he still praises God. Through what I am sure is excruciating pain, he is still thanking and worshiping the Lord. Are we like Job, that when it gets down to it, if you were to lose something or someone you love, will you be praising God for that? Our Lord has a purpose, and we're just worms that God saved and blessed, and we have. And a lot of times, we as worms, we have the audacity to scream at God and blame Him for what we're going through. But we should praise Him no matter what the trial is, no matter what the situation is. His hand is still guiding and His hand is still on you. He still loves you, so you need to worship Him. Now we get into chapter number 2. It says, again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. The Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. The Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So the next thing we're going to see right here, and the last thing, is the defense of Job. Verse number 7, it says, so went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? And all this did not Job sin with his lips. So right here we're seeing Job's defense. We're seeing Job's argument back to his wife. And Job's presented with this choice right here in verse number 9, curse God and die. So we're getting this choice right here of either defiance toward God or the defense of God. Job's wife seems to just want to, I imagine she just wants to see her husband's pain go away, but encourages defiance to God and casting blame upon the Lord. However, Job stands up for his belief and defends God. Should we not expect evil with blessings? Here in verse number 10, it says, what shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? So should we not expect evil with blessings? I believe many Christians fall out of service for this reason right here. They get saved and they believe nothing bad's ever going to happen to them now. And they kind of look at it as sunshine and rainbows and go around smelling the roses. But once something bad happens to them, they start to turn on God and blame Him for not keeping them. Christ never said that the Christian walk was easy. And you look at the Bible, if you look at the Bible, you can try to tell me one person who followed Christ and had it easy. But Christ will bless you beyond measure and will supply all your needs. But following Him is not going to be all sunshine and rainbows. The people who preach that are false teachers, leading others astray and into sin. Verse number 10 also says in the next phrase, shall we not receive evil? That word, receive right there, it's signifying an accepting of a gift. That evil, he's saying right there, is we should receive it as a gift. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 12 says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. James 1, verse number 12 says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him. So the trial that you're going through, or that is coming, and it's going to give you a choice of defiance or defense. So you gotta look at this example from Job, and you gotta choose right here. Are you going to be like a Job where you're going to hit your knees and pray automatically and worship God even though the trial's here? Are you gonna push forth the gospel even though it might offend somebody? What are you doing for Christ? How are you living for Christ and being that Job? That's all I have for this evening. We get a verse of invitation.